Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh.
This is Wretched Radio. Please send your questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. Would you believe we actually received an email or two about the subjects of our day, racial issues, and COVID? Can you imagine? It is, after all, the subject that is consuming most of our conversations, isn't it? Let's see if we can definitively figure out exactly what we're supposed to be doing. You know, like other talk shows purport to do. idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. This is sent from, I'm leaving the name off. Todd, with the events of George Floyd and everything that ensued after, I've been struggling and feeling frustrated with what I should do. Does that sound familiar? I want to be humble enough to listen and to show agape love for my brothers and sisters who have been hurt by racial injustice. Yep. Is it wrong for me to point to those brothers and sisters to say 1 Peter 2:23, when Jesus was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Yep. Am I not loving or understanding to tell people to leave this in God's hands? Am I being filled with empty conceit or selfishness and not considering others by even thinking this, as it says in Philippians 2:3? My cousin is also an LAPD officer, so I feel like I'm stuck between two sides. That is a really, really, really big question. And it demands of us, I believe, more wisdom than we are typically inclined to employ when it comes to rendering a verdict and sharing our opinion on a subject. This particular subject, it is so sensitive, it is so tender, it is so volatile, it also has huge implications. Say something wrong, you could lose your job. Say something wrong, and you could be culturally shunned. Say something wrong, you even put a thumbs up on a post that the culture tends to disagree with, and you could lose your church, as the pastor in Birmingham, who's right now, as he said, crying buckets of tears because he gave a thumbs up to some conservative political posts, and he is being squeezed to and being shunned by the government, cutting off funding even to his church. Those are the implications for this conversation. And so as you go about the business of injecting your thoughts on it, we need to be really, really smart. There is a time to speak, and there's a time to zip it. I might suggest that you might just really have to go through a checklist of issues before you engage. I've been trying to do that. Who am I talking to? Is this somebody in my local church? Is this just a neighbor? Is this just somebody who runs a restaurant in the marketplace? Am I talking to family and friends? Am I talking here? Who's listening? I think you better think that through. And this, that is not to morph your opinion into what they want to hear. That's wrong. But it's to be wise in how you say it or don't say it. There is also a time for discretion. I'm adding to Ecclesiastes. There's a time to speak up and there's a time to zip it. Just be thoughtful about it. I do believe that there is a time when even if people are sensitive about particular subjects, you've got to say, I'm sorry, I need to inject Bible. If you inject opinion these days, I just think you're probably picking a scab. I think you're grabbing a dog in the street by the ears, and you're probably entering into a fight that doesn't belong to you. Bring a Bible verse. I'm hearing you say this. What about the Bible verse that says? I'm hearing you believe this. What about the Bible verse that says that? I think if we're going to engage, you better go through a checklist of, okay, who am I talking to? What is the context? How is this going to be heard? Is this going to be, am I going to get the full thought in? And am I going to bring the Bible? Because honestly, if we don't bring the Bible to this, clang, 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 we're just another clanging voice. And might I just add, as long as we're talking about clanging voices, where are the clarion voices these days? This struck me the other night. I was listening to some political leaders talk, and I asked myself, where's the soaring rhetoric? Where's leadership with grand ideas? I'm not thinking of either side, by the way. I'm thinking of both sides. Historically, we have seen people that deliver speeches and that present big ideas that coalesce a nation, that cause us to go, okay, all right, I can get behind that. Yeah. Let's worry. Okay, I don't agree with this guy next to me on everything, but let's get on this, shall we? Where are those voices? Can you identify that? Gentlemen, on either side, I hate this language. I really, really do. I'm despising this language more and more. This whole black, white American, black, Hispanic American, just, I get it. There's different ethnicities, but we have seemingly regressed on this subject. The goal before was not segregation. It seems that we're moving toward increased segregation these days. So to use the language that is being forced on us these days of black versus white, because in this particular conversation, apparently there are no other ethnicities that are interested in this conversation. It's just black and white. Where is, pick your side, pick your color. Where's the black orator? Where's the black Martin Luther King Jr.? Where's the white, even JFK type of speaker who would say things, ask not what you can do or what your country can do for you? Where's big ideas? It just all seems so clattery and just it's all so divisive and so intense. Where's somebody to transcend both sides to bring everybody up and say, this is the way forward? And you're never going to get 100%, but you're going to get most. Where are those? Am I missing it, guys?
I think they've all been weeded out by the political process and by the talking head news cycle.
Honestly, if it doesn't fit in a tweet, no one's.
Yeah, if it doesn't fit on a tweet, then no one wants to hear it. And most of the people who would say those kinds of messages have just been shut down by hotter
heads.
Maybe
we don't have the attention span for it. I don't know, but it's all so, and I'm thinking of both sides, honestly. It's both so intense and aggressive. And by the way, if you don't think your side is, it's because it's your side. That's just the way it works. You know, I tune into the voice that I like to hear because they believe the same things I do. And so they don't sound maybe nasty or aggressive to me. But they sure could to the other side that disagrees with it. Do we hear anybody talking? Tony, are you aware? Black, white, who is able to speak, to lift the country's eyes up to go, okay, forget culture for a moment. What about in the church? Are there any voices that are able to rise above the clatter and deliver thoughts, biblical thoughts, in such a way that it causes people to go, okay, I'll take a look at that. I'm not seeing it anyplace. If you know who it is, would love to hear those messages, because they sure have not caught fire in our culture. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. This from another frustrated individual. And I get it. I totally get it. This is from Chris. He listened to the conversation that I had with Vody Bachum, and I asked Vody Bachum to tell a story, and he did when he was young and he was living in, I believe, Compton. His uncle, who served in the war, with, I think, a brother or cousin. They were walking down the street. It was dusk. The police basically pull him over. I can't remember if they had him down in the ground. I think they did. No reason. They were walking to the store. And I asked him to share a story so that, not so that you could formulate an opinion about systemic racism in the police department, but just to understand, okay, what is it like to be in this current situation where things like that can happen? It was not at all. I love the police. As a rule, I love them. Love, love, love. If you're in the law enforcement, fire, paramedics, love ya. It's not what it was about. It was just to simply understand, okay, here's a brother who has experienced something that wasn't fair. Now, you could say, well, there's a reason for all of that. It wasn't the point. Just to understand it. And so now Chris is asking, okay, so I heard that, and it makes you go, and yet you've got other ideas about the importance of police. So what do you do with those stories? How do you respond to hearing those tales that we are supposed to hear, which we should? That is a huge question, which we'll try to answer next on Wretched Radio. Whilst you and I perhaps cannot do much work, God has not been sidelined by a virus, and he is working, and he is fulfilling his promise to build his church, even in Nepal.
So there are 65 Nepalese fellowships ranging between about 4,000 to 5,000 believers who worship the Lord every day. And we see conversion every day, literally every day. People are added to the church.
The Spirit of God continuing to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, regenerating believers, filling Jesus' churches. And these new believers, they need Bibles. Would you please participate in this great work and provide Bibles to new believers in Nepal and around the globe? It is merely $5 per Bible. How many could you send through Bible League International? You can do that at wretched.org/Bible.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Always appreciate when you spend part of your day with us. Have you checked out yet The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs That Jesus Is God? A marvelous little book that takes on the History Channel and university professors who'd like to persuade us that Jesus was a nice guy, a good teacher, but no more than that. The problem here, of course, is the Bible. Hence, The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs That Jesus Is God. It will show you from the Bible that Jesus Christ is no mere mortal. He is God in the flesh. So might I suggest heading off to wretched.org/time to get your copy of The Man Who Split Time today. Read it, and then you'll be back to get more copies to hand out. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs That Jesus Is God, at wretched.org/time. wretched.org/time. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Hold on to your socks. This might just blow them off. The Masters Academy International, brilliant on every level. There are thousands of empty pulpits around the globe. What have they done? Established mini seminaries, training centers in 16 nations to equip indigenous men to fill those pulpits and rightly divide the word of truth. But the Masters Academy International has an even higher goal. This is from Samara, Russia.
The objective is not only to place the preachers of local churches on a biblical basis. The goal is not just to give them knowledge. The highest priority is to change the character, to create a minister of a completely different level than it was before, a preacher of a new generation.
Amazing. Would you please consider supporting the Masters Academy International in their endeavor to do just that? Wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. heartsforthelost.com.
titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called our ransom. Through our sin, we are in bondage to sin and death. But Christ paid the fine to satisfy God's justice and purchase us as his holy people. If you are in Christ, you no longer belong to sin, but to God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Also known as the blind knife who found a squirrel in the drawer twice a day. This is Wretched Radio. Not sure, but I think maybe I got one here for your consideration. Just for you to contemplate, maybe, just maybe, this is a part of our current cultural problem. Maybe this is why there is such a divide, and maybe, just maybe, this is a hurdle that you and I need to jump over. I know I do, because I have a huge problem. My problem is I am always so right. I mean, is it easy to always be right? The answer is no, it's not easy at all. Living with all of these people on this planet, 330 million Americans alone that are all wrong about everything, and here I stand, right on everything. And
it's hard to be the only sane man.
Is hard for me, especially when our current culture, it's so, sorry to use this word, tribal. It's so you're this side or that side, and there's very little nuance on anything. And I'm wondering if maybe you and I as Christians could perhaps just lead the way a little bit in this regard. Would like to share with you, just possibly consider some statistics for a moment, all right? You hear these statistics, and then just mark your response. So here it is. In America, give or take, I'm doing this from memory, the statistics, so pardon me if I'm wrong, but the number is indeed this large. There are 335 million interactions with law officers and civilians last year in America, and the overwhelming majority, it's well over 99%, are perfectly peaceful. What's your response to that? What's your gut on that? Hold your thought for just a second. Let me give you another thought. In the American police force, there are some racist people who have acted in a racist fashion and hurt people of color. What's your reaction to that? Here's a question for you. Could it be that both statements are true? Could it be that both of those ideas can actually coexist? Or is it the case that today in our culture, because of the way that just the chips have fallen, no, police are either all good or they're all bad. Or, yeah, okay, fine, there's a couple of bad ones, but... And it's entirely dismissive. Or, conversely, hey, all the whole thing is kafritz and it needs to be dismantled. Now, that seems to be the way that the sides are playing out, aren't they? And it seems that you can't take a middle ground. I was thinking about this during the break. Something that I said. I said, I love the police. I love firemen. I love first responders, these men and women who risk their lives to be on the front lines to make sure that we can live in a society that's civilized. Praise God for those people and their families who make those sacrifices. And I thought, uh-oh, somebody's going to think that I don't think any of them ever make mistakes. And that's probably true. Somebody probably out of the tens and tens of people listening probably did think that. And on the other hand, if I would have said, hey, that guy, that sure looks like it was an example of racism in the police force, they would go, oh, so you think they're all racist, huh? You're buying that narrative, are you? Why can't it be both? Why can't we say, overwhelmingly in this country, police do an amazing job, and we should praise God for them? And there have indeed been instances where men and women have done things. Now, sometimes it's hard to know their hearts, isn't it? That they have done things that are just wrong. Can I say, furthermore, can I say that if there are indeed items in the police manual that need to be fixed, I'm all for it, without saying I think that they're all racist? And can't I say that we have made huge progress with policing techniques in this country without you thinking that I think that nothing needs improvement and that I am somehow not hearing the pleas of a people that feel like they have been on the wrong end of some bad rules? Why can't we, on not all of these issues, there's black and white on some things, there is, but it seems we just struggle, don't we? Let me share with you from Cripplegate, a compassionate countercultural Christian response. Some food for thought. To grieve and lament over the tragic death of George Floyd is not an affirmation of the cultural narrative. That one make its way into your gullet? To grieve and lament over the tragic death of George Floyd is not an affirmation of the cultural narrative. And did you ever feel like this? Hey, what happened to George Floyd? That was terrible, but you have to, but I got to tell you the other side here and what's going on and what was happening in the video that was seen and what was happening in the city of Minneapolis and the mayor who's running and who looks like he's 18. Can't you just go, what happened to that man was tragic? Yeah, but do you know what his criminal record was and that he was down in Texas and he came up here and that he actually held a woman to come up? It's okay to just say it's tragic without affirming everything else. It's okay. From Cripplegate, to mourn with those who mourn does not necessarily mean protesting with those who protest. There are a lot of black people in this country, and not all of them are represented by the images that you saw in downtown Minneapolis. You go to church, I hope you do. You know believers who are black, and they have got emotions that are tender. You might think that they're wrong, but they are hurting. And they aren't represented, perhaps, by those people that are burning down buildings. To mourn with those who mourn does not necessarily mean protesting with those who protest. To vehemently denounce and oppose the evil of racism and the error of ethnocentrism is not to automatically agree with secular and worldly philosophies that seem to do the same, such as critical race theory and intersectionality. Did you catch all of that? To vehemently denounce the evil of racism is not to say, I agree with intersectionality. It's hard, though, isn't it? Because you feel like you are. Well, if I'm too full-throated about this issue of racism, people are going to think I'm all social justice warrior-y. Doesn't have to. Might. Doesn't have to. Doesn't. To be silent, it is not always to be complicit and guilty. All right? This is now, we're going into a different direction.
No. White silence is violence.
That's exactly the line right there. Silence is compliance is another one. Well, Jesus was silent before his accusers. He didn't speak up over that particular injustice. It's okay for some people to go, I don't feel comfortable speaking on this. I don't feel equipped. I don't feel like I have all the information. I actually believe that there's a time to enter into a fray and there's a time not to. And right now, I think it's a time not to. And it doesn't mean that they're racist. It just means that they're being silent. Furthermore, I just heard a pistol whipping from a megachurch pastor. How dare you not speak up on racism when you speak up on abortion and sex trafficking? Whoa. Okay. That's quite an accusation. And that's an example of making his thing your thing. He cares about it and wants to speak on it, so you have to do the same. It's not the case. There are so many issues we can get engaged in. A Christian can't get engaged in all of them. They just can't. And I won't even get into the intensity of these issues. The point is that a Christian doesn't have to speak up on everything all the time. You would never stop. You'd be walking around the streets all the time. Hey, everybody, I'm really concerned about pride. Hey, everybody, arrogance is terrible. Hey, if anybody's doing adultery, evil, evil, wicked. You can't spend your day decrying every evil that exists. And every Christian gets to make that decision for themselves. I don't make my thing your thing. You don't make your thing my thing. We act as a body. Okay, you want to work on the subject of race? You go to work on the subject of racism. You want to work on the subject of abortion? You go to work on the subject of abortion. I would encourage you to join that effort, specifically by supporting preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched. $28 will buy an ultrasound, which saves a baby's life. Mommy, Daddy, hear the gospel. Beautiful ministry. I would beg you to be a part of that, to save lives. Preborn.org/wretched. Would I call you a sinner if you don't? No. No. Can't do that. That pastor tried to. To call for biblical discernment and definitions in this discussion and refuse wholesale blanket acceptance of cultural ideas and assumptions is not less compassionate, but more. Can you accept that? Maybe, just maybe, unlike our cultural commentators who black and white everything, this side, that side, we can maybe on some of these, not all of these, some of these, have two ideas coexist. This is Wretched Radio.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The mission ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text. An effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the mission ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the mission ball. Go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org.
Revelation. Special revelation is God's act of making himself known through direct means. In history, God has spoken directly to people like Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and the prophets. 2,000 years ago, he revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Today, he reveals himself in his perfect word, the Bible. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Believe it or not, I think I did answer that email. Send to idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio. If you recall, long time ago, far, far away, Chris sent an email like you can to idea@wretched.org saying, what am I supposed to do with that Vody story? I was with Vody Buckham at a conference and I said, Vody, we are told to listen. White people are encouraged. Hear the stories. And we should be willing to do that. Even if you think, hold on, anecdotes don't make it true. It's just an anecdote. Well, that can be true, but I can still listen and learn. Can't I do both things? And so I asked Vody, tell a story so that we can understand coming from somebody that I believe that we all respect, Vody Buckham. He is a very big thinker. Vody, I think, is one of the underrated thinkers in a lot of issues, specifically the racial issues. He's a big idea guy. And I wanted to hear if he's ever experienced what we are told so many black Americans experience. And he shared a story of being a child, being younger, living in Compton, his uncle, home from the war, on their way to a market. I think it was dusk or dawn. And they found themselves being pulled over by the police, walking down the street, pulled over, and on the ground. What were they doing wrong? Absolutely nothing. Now, can you hear that story and go, that would be a drag? Or do you hear that story and go, yeah, we're talking about Compton here. And you know what the crime rate is in Compton? So you can't blame the guys for pulling over somebody that they think maybe is up to no good. Which one was it? Can you hold on to multiple ideas at the same time without feeling like your position is being totally... Can't you go, Vody, that would be a drag. He didn't earn that. He didn't do anything to warrant that. Now, by the way, I have no idea what was going on in the police, their heart. What there might have been a call. Maybe somebody said, hey, we think there were three guys walking. I don't know. That's not my point at all. I'm not commenting on the issue. Although that actually is my point, because somehow we can't help but jump in and render a verdict on a story like that, can we? Can't we just hear it and maybe go, wow, that would be a bummer. I would imagine if you're white walking to the store with your kids and all of a sudden officers have you down on the sidewalk on your face for apparently no reason. You'd go, that ain't fun. No, there's other issues surrounding it. We all know that and that conversation. But can't we just go, ah, that would be a drag. And by the way, conversely, just to try to keep the scales balanced here, can you, if you are somebody who is very familiar with those types of stories, and you are a black person, and you are well acquainted with that, and you are of the opinion that this issue of racism in our country, it is indeed systemic. Can you hear somebody who is white say, hey, you know, this whole critical race theory is a terrible idea. Intersectionality is awful. Can you hear them say that without concluding that you think that they are racist? I think this is coming pretty close to putting our finger on one of the pulses of the problem currently in our culture. That we're so entrenched in what our thinking is that it's very difficult to consider anything and to become nuanced and persuaded. Let me share with you. This is going to seem like we just went on a little bit of a diversion here, but we're only going to take a mild detour and come back to the main road. Yuval Levin, he is a writer. I think he's the editor for the New Atlantis magazine. I'm not familiar with. I received the story, read it. He's clearly a good writer. You may disagree with his thoughts, but you can tell good writing. Guy's a good writer. He wrote an article called Tribalism Comes for Pandemic Science. And he's noticing how tribal everybody is with their understanding of the issue of COVID and how you've got an opinion on it and you don't listen to anything anybody else says. So if you're an anti-masker, there is no value in masks. There is no thought that those things could possibly work and vice versa, because that's just it. You're this tribe, that tribe, and we don't hear. And yet he also points out how our tribalism can just override any sort of consideration, any other thinking, and any ability to hold two issues with any sort of balance. You might actually get a kick out of this, or you just might get annoyed. In an open letter published by more than 1,000 public health academics and practitioners, they came out and said, large public gatherings increase the risk of transmitting COVID-19. Okay? Large getting together, we're going to see a spike. And then these 1,000 scientific academics said, quote, however, as public health advocates, we do not condemn these gatherings as risky for COVID-19 transmission. He's talking about now the whether it was a peaceful protest, the rioting, the looting that's been going on. Those are fine. Now, scientifically, we know that large public gatherings increase the risk of transmitting COVID-19, but not at those demonstrations. They wrote, quote, we support them as vital to the national public health and to the threatened health specifically for black people in the United States. And they're going to try to explain that to you. We can show that support by facilitating safest protesting practices without detracting from demonstrators' ability to gather and demand change. So they're going to try to tell you close gatherings, like what we're seeing with these, we'll call them protests, although a lot of them don't qualify for that word. You don't get a disease doing that. It's bad if you gather for other things like protesting against the quarantine. But if you protest against racial injustice, then it's not dangerous. It's actually good for your health. And right now you're going, what? Hold on. We can show both things. This should not be confused with a permissive stance on all gatherings, particularly protest against stay-at-home orders. So if you get together to protest stay-at-home orders, that's especially terrible. Those actions not only oppose public health interventions, but are also rooted in white nationalism and run contrary to respect for black lives. So if you get together to protest, you don't like the quarantine thing, that's really, really bad, especially for black people, because they are being hit by it harder. Now, some of those statistics, let's just on the face of it, that community has been hit harder, although depending on how you break it out demographically, male and female, and different seasons, the spiking goes up and down. Doesn't make any difference. They say that if a group of white people get together to protest the quarantines, that's especially bad for black people. But if black people get together to do the exact same thing, but they're protesting against racism, that's fine. And you, I hope, are hearing that and going, what? Which is it? Can you get the disease from being in a group, or can't you? What has happened here? They have a value that they believe is right, and they believe that it is really, really important. And so that value overrides their actual credentials. So when COVID was the only story, that was the worst thing you can do, is get together publicly. Racism comes along. They believe that's a more important issue, right, wrong, or indifferent. And that overrides their actual scientific understanding of gathering for the dissemination of the COVID virus, for the spreading of the virus. Ridiculous? I think so. Question? Do I do that? Do I maybe, possibly, sometimes do that too? My thinking on one issue doesn't allow me to hold another issue. The issue of COVID is complex. The issue of racism, potentially more complexer. I'm not sure if my mental harmonizing of everything is harmonious at all. These people who sign this are not dumb people. They've got degrees on the wall. And yet we look at it from a distance and go, man, that's just knucklehead thinking. Clear, it should be one or the other. Because that's kind of the way we're set up. It's one or the other. And I'm just wondering, not on all of these issues, because sin is sin, but that we can at least, I'm not even saying agree, but at least a hear and just to listen. And I'm talking both sides here, because if you think that I'm pointing this gun in one direction, I'm not. The idea is for all of us as believers to be hearers, quick to listen, slow to speak, to weigh the issues, to be thoughtful, and to let my words have a peaceable effect. Not a cable news effect, a peaceable effect. Can I be a better balancer of ideas than, say, these thousand scientists? This is Wretched Radio. Uh-huh. And you didn't think it was worth your time to pay attention in geography class.
I'm thinking about a village that we visited called Pirasmani. It took us about 4 hours to get there, and the road was so bumpy that we were a couple of basket cases by the time we got there. But you know what? There were 35 kids waiting there for us. They have no church in this village. Talk about an unreached place, and we're now operating a tomorrow club in that place.
You and I could not find that place on a map of Eastern Europe, but tomorrow clubs do, and they go, and they bring the gospel, and kids are getting saved. They're bringing the gospel home to parents, and churches are being started or revitalized. Would you please consider supporting your own tomorrow clubs? $30 per month will disciple 30 kids in places you and I couldn't even find on a map. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
It's amazing, isn't it? With all the TV channels and streaming services, how little there really is to watch on television. Well, what's worth watching? So, with most folks stuck inside a whole lot more right now, you've probably run out of stuff to watch on Netflix. Well, look no further. Wretched has got you covered. Wretched TV.
Visit wretched.org/TV for over 2,600 episodes of sound biblical teaching. You'll see live witnessing encounters, hear topics ranging from pneumatology to abortion to counseling, and hear relevant topics in the Christian community. Wretched.org/TV. So do yourself a favor. Take a break from the multitude of channels and all the streaming services that offer, well, really nothing, and binge watch Wretched TV instead. Visit wretched.org/TV for all things wretched. That's wretched.org/TV. Now, where's my clicker?
If you are a preborn.org/wretched supporter providing ultrasounds and even ultrasound machines, this is a great big thank you from South Florida.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room because our mission is to save lives, save souls in South Florida. And in this very room, that specific thing happens. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way. Thank you for your ministry to the unborn.
Ultrasounds save lives, but preborn clinics need ultrasound machines first. If you could provide a machine or if you could provide a $28 ultrasound, whatever it is, your support for preborn, it saves lives, it saves souls, it saves families. You can become a preborn supporter at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Obadiah is a prophecy against the nation of Edom, who were descendants of Jacob's brother, Esau. Obadiah's message is clear. God will punish those who persecute his people. When you face troubles of any kind, turn to the Lord. Renew your faith in him, for he cares for his people.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Tony and Joey, would you please stop interrupting so we can get to emails sent to idea at wretched.org. Idea.
Won't happen again. I apologize for Joey.
About whatever you want to, if you'd be so kind.
Sorry, I was talking over you when you said idea.
Pithy.
Should radio.
Idea.
At wretched.org.
Radio.org.
See?
This is
Joey
sent from, I'm going to leave the name off of it. Maybe this describes your home. One of the spouses, I'm just going to summarize the story. One of the spouses is really afraid to go out because of concerns of COVID. I suspect this couple is older than that particular spouse is concerned about going out. The other spouse doesn't have a problem with it. That's a recipe for some tension. What would you do? What would you do? Would you give in to the spouse and go out when you're afraid? Or if you aren't afraid, would you stay in the house because your spouse is afraid? Might I suggest to you for your consideration, this would be one of those instances where the Bible, I think, makes it pretty clear. If I happen to think that it's safe to go outside and mix and mingle, and my spouse doesn't, and it's if it would scare Mrs. Friel, I'm not going. If that concerns her and troubles her, okay, I give it up. I lay down my right. If I happen to think that it's safe to go play and she doesn't, I'm not playing, because I am willing to give up on those things because I'm commanded to. Why? That's the question. Because Jesus gave up his right to be worshipped, to be adored, to be praised, to be the center of the universe. Have you forgotten, by the way, that Jesus actually is the center of the universe? I know you and I tend to think we are, but he actually is. Doesn't the world tend to revolve around you just like it revolves around me? That's a lot of colliding orbits, isn't it? The reality is Jesus is the center of the universe. He's the purpose for the universe. He is the point of everything. He is from past, present, future, the center. Gave it up for you. Now your spouse says, I'm afraid to go outside, honey. Too bad. That's ridiculous. That Fauci's a quack anyway. You're going. Let's go. Put your mask on if you have to, but we're getting out of here. I've had enough. Nope. Because Jesus surrendered all of that, The right to be right, the right to be worshipped, the right to be the center of attention, the right to have nice things. Gave it up for you. And your spouse says, honey, I'm afraid. I know you might be like, this issue is like a to me. Personally, I would say, okay, Mrs. Friel, we're not going nowhere. Idea@wretched.org. Idea@wretched.org. Hold on. Got to put my glasses on. I can't see a thing these days. About a year ago, the SBC passed Resolution 9 on critical race theory. You've devoted a good amount of time then and since then analyzing critical race theory. Thumbs down. Intersectionality. Thumbs down. Cultural Marxism. Thumbs down. I just wanted to recommend a great synodoc called By What Standard? The documentary dives into feminism along with social issues, spends most of its time analyzing critical race theory and its encroachments upon the church. It's very insightful, and I pray that you mentioning the film will help the saints to get a better grasp on what's going on in the realm of race and the church. Well, I'm sorry, Logan. I can't do that. I don't know what you think we are around here. What, some announcement board where you can just pin something called a synodoc name by what standard? Critical race theory, it's a complicated thing to get a handle on. You'll have to go back into the archives. We've done plenty of talking about it. But you should understand it. And might I suggest that you get your understanding really clear theologically? Because, for instance, you'll hear that a lot of these ideas are grounded in cultural Marxism, and I believe that they are. But if you bring that into the conversation at church, it probably will just end up being contentious. Filter it through. What does the Bible really say on? Forget all the critical race. Forget No. What is the Bible? Bible, 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 Bible. What does the Bible say? That's where the debate needs to be. Idea@wretched.org. This is an email from South Africa. I'm a black woman of African descent. I have no alignment to the Black Lives Matter movement. By the way, an aside on the Black Lives Matter movement, not everybody who holds a Black Lives Matter sign adheres to Black Lives Matter's principles. They might, but they might not. I wish somebody would come up with a different slogan. I really do. I wish somebody would come up with a because Black Lives Matter, what they want, what their demands are, very unbiblical stuff.
The organization. Very unbiblical. There's the slogan, there's the movement, there's the organization.
Yeah, and we just tend to get them goofed fully. Up. I wish we had different phrasing. Nevertheless, back to this letter from South Africa. I have no alignment to the BLM movement, and I see it as being detrimental. I see the hypocrisy. I also see the pedestal they have formed and are trying to place black people on. It erodes all personal responsibility and makes it seem like black people can never do any wrong, an outright lie because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I hate seeing the exploitation and the message that is being portrayed to our next generation, that our problems are caused by white people. All problems are caused by our sinful nature. Hold on. I'm also angry at white evangelical Christians. So this is a both and. I'm mad at the evangelical Christians pandering to this movement. It's also very condescending, downright racist, and truly unbiblical to imply partiality because of ethnicity. That's fascinating. I've heard that from an increasing number of voices, the soft bigotry of low expectations and a community that needs help of your community, otherwise they can't fix themselves. I've heard a lot more black people saying, hold on, not so fast. We're not idiots here. We're strong. We're smart. We can do this. And if you think that we need your help to do it, that's the very thing that you're saying that we shouldn't be doing. She writes, I am sinfully angry and truly heartbroken. I just want this to be all over and the Lord to come. The gospel truly is the power to save both mind and soul. I just don't want to be angry anymore and to wholly trust in my Lord. Wow. Yeah. Feel that? Do you want it to be over too? I don't think it is going to be over. You don't need history books. You need your Bible. Go read about the racism and ethnic battles that have been taking place since Cain and Abel. Just this, just the attitudes of warring factions. This group, that ethnicity, this country, that nation, this skin color, this gender, this socioeconomic status. It's never going to disappear. See, this is a heart issue. This is an issue that demands regeneration. Legislation can keep people from saying a nasty pejorative about somebody of a different skin color. That's all it can do. But it doesn't fix the heart. And if you, like this lady from South Africa, if you've grown weary and tired, soon, can't tell you when, maybe as early as next week, we're going to present something to you that might be helpful. Dr. Steve Lawson presenting a message very, very similar to our current context, Psalm 11. He's going to just break it down for you. King David was seeing the foundations crumble, and his advisors, his consultants were saying, flee like a bird. And David's response is something radically different, and it applies so appropriately to our current context. If you're growing weary, we need to know this is indeed a sin problem, and the only solution to it is going to be the gospel. idea@wretched.org. I'm wondering what one can do if you see a very large local church, about 3,000 members, falling away. I see leadership getting involved in the Black Lives Movement, encouraging others to read race-related works by authors who aren't even Christian, and more emphasis on community outreach projects with the gospel referenced only in the most perfunctory manner, if at all. Yep, this is a trend that is going on right now. And it is the issue of our day that we need to figure out how we're going to work through it. And I would simply add this as one thought to the entire bigger, broader context. No problem with conversations. Not a problem at all. If it's a conversation, but if you're in leadership and you know what the end goal is, and you mask that with this is going to be a conversation, I don't think that you are exercising integrity and being honest. If you've got an agenda, say it. You've got an opinion, fine. And if somebody else has one that's contrary, they can bring that. So here's what we've got potentially. People are on two sides of the aisle on a social issue. Who is going to be the referee? If it's a foregone conclusion, it's not a fair fight. But both sides should be willing to say, I'm going to lay down my opinion and we are going to submit to the referee of the Bible and we will do exactly what it says and what nobody else says, the word and the word alone. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.